Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, I never usually do a disclaimer before I do a sermon, but I want to do a disclaimer on this message because I think it's very important before I move on into the introduction, okay? Because I know we have men and women in our congregation who have served in the military, and I know we have men and women in our congregation who have served in civilian service as well. And so the disclaimer I want to make is this. When you are serving the U.S. military or the government and you have to kill somebody, it is not murder. The Bible's very clear on that. You are serving the government. You are upholding justice. Romans 13 says that the government has the right to put to the sword anyone who is an evildoer. So I want to make that very clear before we begin the message, because I think that's important for us to understand. It's important for those who are in the military to understand. I'll tell you a quick story. One time, when I fly alone, I like to wear my clerical collar, and there's two reasons. Number one is that usually it gets me first class. Shh, don't tell anybody. And number two, my wife says, you shouldn't do that. Well, why not? And number two, it opens the door for people to come and talk to me. And so one time I was switching planes in Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport, and it was a pretty busy time. There was a lot of people in the airport, and a young man in his military uniform came to me, and he said, Father, can I talk to you? And I never correct them, you know. I just say, okay, sure, you can talk to me. And he starts crying, and he said, I've done some things, and I've seen bad things, and I've killed some people, and my whole soul hurts. He said, I'm deeply wounded. I'm conflicted inside. I feel like I'm going to hell. And I grabbed his hand, and I said, listen to me. You have done nothing wrong. You have served your country proudly. You have done what the government has asked you to do. You are right, and you are just, you are not going to hell. And I said, let's pray. And we prayed together. And afterwards, his eyes flooded with tears, and you could see the joy return into his face. And it was just a really blessed moment for me to be able to be with that young man and to help him to know that he could proudly serve his country and still go to heaven and not have to worry about breaking this commandment. So that's the disclaimer for this commandment, okay? I just thought it would be good for us to talk about. So the introduction, now we're into the introduction, okay? Who's our neighbor? In order to fully understand this commandment, we need to know who our neighbor is. And who is our neighbor? Who is our brother? Who is our sister? The answer is? Oh, you guys are so good. That was half my sermon right there, and you already know the answer. And the reality is, it's everyone, right? Everyone we come in contact with, Scripture teaches, is our neighbor, is our brother, is our sister. Jesus goes so far to say they're our mother, they're our father. And that's the reality that we need to remember when we're interacting in our world, is that every person we come in contact with is somebody that God loves, that God has made, and not only that, that we are connected with, whether they're Christian or not. Hear me on this. Whether they're homosexual or not, whether they've had an abortion or not, they are still our neighbor. We agree on that, right? Yes. We are still to love them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's the main point, and we need to know that before we go in. So my next point is this. Murder is wrong. We can all agree to that, right? Yes. Murder is wrong. If we think about it, we don't have to think about it. Murder's wrong. On the news this morning, I just saw somebody was murdered in Fort Worth here. Some guy, they found him dead on the road. Murder's wrong. That's why I'm proud to live in Texas where we still have the death penalty. You know, it's a punishment. And sometimes if you murder somebody, the scripture's very clear. If you murder somebody, you know, you are put to death because of that. And the reality is, this is true. God takes murder very seriously, and we don't have to really focus on this too long to know that murder is wrong. And I'd venture to say that nobody in here has ever committed murder. As a matter of fact, my next point is, so now we can all sit back, breathe a sigh of relief, and be thankful we've never murdered anybody, right? And the sermon can be done. All right, amen, I'm done. But let me tell you about Andy. Andy, he's a bad guy. And I don't like Andy because he's done this. And he's done that. And I'll tell you more about Andy later. I hate you. I can't believe you treat me like that. I hate you so much. How could you even call yourself my friend? Go away. I don't want to have anything to do with you. You know, that John, well, he's such a fool. He does this and he does that. He's such a fool. I can't stand to be around him anymore. Oh, Becky. Poor, poor Becky. Becky is such a liar. God bless her heart. We'll make it Texan. You know where I'm going with this, right? We've all murdered. St. James says the most deadly weapon in all the world is the tongue. It's full of venom and poison. Isn't that weird to think about? It's not a gun. It's not a nuclear missile. It's none of that. The deadliest weapon known to mankind is the tongue. Thank goodness the government hasn't outlawed our tongue or we'd be in trouble. But the tongue is the deadliest weapon. From spreading gossip to saying I hate you to hurting somebody we care about and we love, we'll get to that in a moment. This, my brothers and sisters, this is murder. And every one of us in here, we're guilty of murder. We're guilty of hurting people. We're guilty of gossiping. We're guilty of lying against people. We're guilty of spreading the gossip against people. And therefore, we are murderers. The tongue of a person truly shows a person's heart. Would you agree with me on that? The tongue of a person truly shows a person's heart. And I've seen it. I have seen people that I have been around where they talk so negatively. Everything's negative, negative, negative. Everything's bad about somebody. Everything's wrong about somebody. And it truly shows their heart. Because you see that their heart isn't one that goes out to love people, to help people, to serve people. And the antithesis of what Luther talks about in the meaning of this commandment today is, you shall not murder, but instead, you shall love and help your brother or your sister or your neighbor. And that's truly what the heart shows. It's the opposite of murder. If the tongue is speaking good of people, if the tongue is speaking positive, if the tongue is speaking love, if the tongue is sharing Christ, if the tongue is pointing people to Jesus, the eternal Savior who saves us from our sins, if the tongue is doing that, the heart follows. And what happens, what begins to happen is we become a people who truly, truly help those who are in need, who truly help those who are falling on hard times, who truly helps the murderer in prison get to know Jesus, who truly helps the woman who's had the abortion on the other side get to know the fact that she's forgiven by a Lord and Savior just because Jesus loves her, because he loves us too. It's the tongue that helps the homosexual know, you know what? I'm here to walk alongside of you. I may not agree with what you're doing, but I'm here to love you and accept you and to walk with you and to tell you more about Jesus. You see, the tongue reflects the heart. And we have a choice every day to use our tongue to be murderous weapons against people, or to be agents of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who so desperately need it. And I would go so far as to say there are people in this congregation who desperately need the love of Jesus even today. Because there are people suffering from hardships in their family, people suffering from hardships with their parents, people struggling with whatever it may be, an addiction, pornography, whatever it is in their life. There are people in our congregation who need to hear the tongue of love, the heart of love. Because I will go so far as to say that when we refuse to help people, when we refuse to love people, when we refuse to serve people, we are murdering them. Would you agree? Because that's what Jesus says. That's what he says in our gospel lesson for today. And let me tell you something else for those of us who are married. I don't know, do any married people ever argue with your spouse? Am I the only one? No, really, honestly, does anybody out there ever argue with their spouse? Yeah. Do any of you ever say, like, bad things to your spouse sometimes in an argument? Yeah. You catch the drift, right? Yeah. It's so easy to murder. We don't realize it. Praise be to God, we have a Jesus who loves murderers. We have a Jesus who loves murderers, who loves liars, who loves adulterers, who loves homosexuals, and the list goes on and on. Praise be to God, we have a Jesus who loves murderers. Because without that, you and I would be in all the trouble in the world. You see, Jesus Christ is our Savior. We deserve nothing but death and hell because of our sins, but Jesus, in his love, in his ultimate love, died on that cross so that we might be forgiven. In his ultimate love, he hung there. And if you think about it, Scripture says he was murdered for our transgressions. The people, the very people that put him to death murdered him because they didn't want him around. But little did they know that it wouldn't last for long, did it? Because 3 days later, Jesus burst forth from the tomb. And as he burst forth in the tomb into life, he assured us that our salvation is secure, that our sins are truly forgiven, that they're washed away as far as the east is from the west. That our sins aren't counted against us anymore. Because of Jesus, through the baptismal waters of God's grace, when God looks at us, he sees Jesus. When God looks at us, he sees his children, holy and dearly loved. And here's the most amazing thing about it. When God looks at us, he doesn't see our sins anymore because Jesus left those sins in that tomb and burst forth from that tomb into life. And the Father has promised that that's the only place he'll never look to see our sins. He sees us as holy, loved, dearly, dearly cared for children of Christ. That's who you are. Despite your sinfulness, despite your wrongdoing, God's grace has covered your life so that you may live freely in the gospel. That you may live by the power of the Holy Spirit a life of repentance daily. A life that says, oh, I'm heading down the wrong path, and looks back to the cross of Jesus and sees the glory and grace of God that is for us for eternity. Even though we deserve death, it has been removed from us, and now we have life. I don't know about you, but the power of the gospel is so amazing, isn't it? The power of what Jesus done for us is truly awesome. And to know that he continues to love us and continues to give us his Holy Spirit to help us to live for him is even a more wonderful gift. And we have the opportunity every day in our lives to say, Jesus, help me. Help me to live the life of love. Help me to tame my tongue. Put a guard over my mouth, Scripture says, that truly what I utter and what I do with my heart may show people the overwhelming grace and love of Jesus. Because after all, that's truly and only what it's all about. In Jesus' name, amen.